singing, and you may be seated at this time. And let's take our Bibles out tonight, and we're going to cover a very, very countercultural subject tonight. I've affectionately just summarized the whole topic in the word that we often use in our culture to summarize it, and that is wokeism. I want to speak to you tonight about the ideology of wokeism. And so if you take your Bibles with me, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, the text verse for our series on counterculture. And we'll begin this study. I apologize, I did not have time to put together a handout for you tonight, so you just have to do it the old-fashioned way tonight. But I encourage you, we won't have time to turn to every verse that we reference. I do encourage you to take a pen and paper and to write down some things, because it's important that we get some of these things down in our minds. Wokeism is one of the most dangerous ideologies on the scene of American culture today. And it's pervasive all throughout our society. Every day, in classrooms, not every classroom, but in many classrooms, on TV shows, sitcoms, news broadcasts, sports broadcasts, and office break rooms, you can hear the imperatives being shouted at you ever so subtly for woke ideology. Say things like, your silence is violence. You need to be less white. No justice, no peace. And on the mantras go. We hear them all the time. Sometimes they're implied. In fact, we've become so used to them in modern society that we can almost tune them out sometimes now, but they are very common nonetheless. Our young people are now being brought up to believe that they should apologize for sinful choices that they never made. Sinful choices of past generations. And innocent people are being told they must be guilty simply because of the color of their skin or the home into which they were born. And it goes against the grain of everything that the Bible teaches us. I understand this is a sensitive subject. I'm going to try to be very careful as we march through these things. But we do not have to apologize for biblical truth. We need to stand on biblical truth. But the sad reality is when it comes to this ideology, most believers know enough about wokeism to be able to say it is a liberal construct, but they cannot define what it is. And so what ends up happening is anything that appears or seems to be liberal, uninformed people say, well, that's woke. It's very common for that accusation to be made by conservatives. Well, that's just woke. They have no idea what woke means. I want to inform you what it is, and then I want to take some time to help you understand what the Bible actually has to say about this social construct that we're facing in our day. And it has been my goal throughout this series that we've been going through to educate and to equip believers about these counterculture issues, these cultural issues that we should treat as counterculture, countercultural, because we are Bible believers. So 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, in this verse, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give what? An answer to every man who asks you a reason of the hope that is within you. It is our responsibility, as Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints, to be ready to give an answer. And sadly, on this particular subject, while we could give a bunch of vain and uninformed rants about wokeness, I truly believe that most believers have no idea how to defend the biblical position about this particular subject. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. If you want to write that verse down, Colossians 2 and verse 8, it warns believers to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, the Bible's warning us, you be careful not to let the Antichrist, unbiblical philosophies and traditions of men in this world to turn you away from the truth that is clearly communicated in Scripture. One of those philosophies that is very dangerous in the day we're living in is that of wokeism. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll tell you, throughout this study this evening, we're going to see that woke ideology is seeking to take captive every thought that we think as people in American society. It is our responsibility as believers to not allow our thoughts to be captured and to be ensnared by a wrong philosophy. It's our responsibility to use the Scriptures to make sure the way we view this world and the way that we're thinking about this world comes from a biblical worldview. So I'm laying a scriptural foundation for the things that we're going to be talking about. And I'm just going to be frank. Wokeism is an evil philosophy. It is an evil ideology that we must guard against and that we must cast down. And so with that being said, as we study this truth, there's a lot of ground to cover. And the truth is, I could really take a semester and teach on this subject because it is that complex. Isn't it interesting? Most of the truths of Scripture are very simple, easy to express. When you're talking about the philosophies of this world, they're very complex. Very complex. And that's one of the things that is certainly happening with this one right here. I'll tell you what we need to do. Let's just pause for a moment and let's pray. Let's ask for God to open our hearts to the truths that we're about to look at and perhaps learn some things and learn how we can help both ourselves and others with this dangerous ideology. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We thank you, God, for the time we've already been able to spend in worship, singing blessings to your name, and singing truth and song, sharing in fellowship together. I pray, God, now that you will just allow your Holy Spirit to take control of my voice and allow not my opinion to be expressed, but just truth, the truth of your word, the truth of the realities of this ideology. Pray that we would hear the warning that you've given us about it, and I pray you'd help us to grow in understanding it a little bit more and understanding what the Bible has to say about it and how we can help others who are misguided on this subject. And so, Lord, I pray for your blessing on the moments we'll spend together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to look at three headings tonight for this discussion. We're going to look at the definition of wokeism. Then we're going to look at the detriment of wokeism, its impact on society, and then we'll look at the defense against wokeism. And so we'll look at these three headings tonight, and I want to start with defining what wokeism is. If you're taking notes, you might want to write down first the definition of wokeism. To put it simply, wokeism is a way of thinking. It's a worldview. It is a philosophy. That's what it is. But to put it into terms could be a little bit difficult. As I said before, most people who are uninformed on the subject would look at this ideology as simply being liberal. Well, if you're liberal, you're woke. But it's not exactly what what's being talked about with this ideology. I want you to understand that most people who are woke are liberal. But that is, they're not terms that are mutually exclusive, all right? And so what is it? Well, the term woke, it implies someone who is awake, right? Obviously, woke, right? But it's talking about someone who is awake, and specifically it's talking about someone who has had an awakening to the true nature of the world where others are asleep. They can't see how the world really operates. And so it's speaking of a higher knowledge that most people don't have. They're ignorant. They're not woke. They're not informed. They can't see the problems that are happening in the world. And so those who are truly woke are able to see the inequality of social order and strive to highlight power structures in society that stem from this racial profiling. And that's the essential nature of what wokeism involves. And the system of thinking that has come to define wokeism has come to be called critical race theory. How many of you heard of CRT before? critical race theory, CRT. It is pervasive across the board in our nation and some other nations today as well. Now, I'm reading you a quote here about CRT. CRT teaches that all of society, life, is structured along racial power dynamics. Race is a social construct, according to CRT. It is not biologically based and exists only in our imagination. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and say, as Bible-believing Christians, we actually agree with that. All right? We're going to talk about this later. There are no races. There's the human race. God made us of one blood, right? It is a construct of sinful humanity. But they go farther than that. So they say that race is a social construct that's not biologically based but exists only in our imagination. And furthermore, CRT teaching insists that the concept of race is America's original lie and it has led to America's original sin of racism. Again, this is what CRT teaches. Critical race theorists argue that America was and is still shot through with racism today. We have a whole societal system that is based on racial concepts. And so they say things like the Constitution. And they say they attack our founding documents. They attack our founding fathers in America and say it was all based on the concept of racism. And so the entire American system and way of life is now suspect. And so the theorists from critical race theory claim that the only way this systemic racism can be eradicated is through severe political and economic reform to make reparations for the failures of our predecessors in the past. Now, I hope I'm not talking over your head because I tell you, this is a complicated thing, but I'm trying to bring it down and make it a little bit more simple for us tonight. So the version of woke history that the CRT proponents, the critical race theorists, would have our children to be taught today in our schools, if they had the power to overtake every school. It's not happening in every public school. There are some parents and educators who are standing for truth. And by the way, there are some educators who are in schools that tell them they have to teach CRT theory who are standing against the tide and refusing to do it. And thank God for good, godly Christian people in the public education system who will take a stand. And by the way, we've got some good ones here. All right? And I know this personally. But proponents of the CRT ideology would have our children to be taught that America was originally rigged to be a power game that only white people could win. I'm really dumbing it down, but that's essentially what the ideology teaches, all right? And wokeism claims that the reason a white person views a black person as inferior is because of the disease of whiteness. By the way, that's a premise that is not true. All right. Now, was racism a problem of our past? Yes. Was there a time in American history where white people might have looked at black people as being inferior? Yes, that was sinful. That was wrong. We can acknowledge that while at the same time not having to cave into woke ideology today. Is it still a problem today? Yes. The truth is yes. All right. Now, I, as a white adult male, I can't claim to understand all of the discrimination that somebody who is a minority perhaps experiences sometimes. I'm not up here claiming that this kind of thing doesn't happen. But what I am saying is that the whole ideology of saying we need to tear down the very construct of society based on a problem of our past is a dangerous ideology, and we're going to get deeper into why as we get farther into this. And so the ideology of wokeism goes further than this, and this is really interesting to me. They teach that the concept of colorblindness, quote-unquote, concerning race is intentional racist opposition. And so for someone to bring up the argument, well, I'm colorblind when it comes to race. I don't see what color your skin is. The wokeism ideology says, well, that is just intentional persecution. That's intentional obstruction of racist values right there. And so these are the tenets of wokeism as I've come to understand it. Now, I've read several books and articles on this particular subject. I'm trying to take a mass of information and try to communicate it to you as simply as I can here tonight. So at the baseline, critical race theory involves looking at ordinary life in society through the lens of racial power. In other words, we could put it simply just to say CRT teaches a worldview. It teaches a new way for our society to view ourselves, a new way to look at the world. In particular, CRT teaching is being directed at our children because if they can infect our children early on, they will grow up with this worldview. You understand how dangerous that is. And you look at our society today and we're seeing the impact already of this kind of teaching that started in the colleges and is now filtered down into the school systems on our society. And we're in Montezuma County, all right? We're in a very conservative area. But even here, we can feel the impact of it. Certainly in other parts of this country, its impact can be felt much more strongly. So as woke ideology has branched out now to include other things, the term that has come to be used to describe the oppression of all minority groups is intersectionality. How many of you have heard that term before? Intersectionality. Again, all these big words and all these big concepts make it very difficult to understand what is actually happening, but we see the results of it because this ideology is being pushed on our society. And so the supposed oppression of all minority groups has come to be called intersectionality. So intersectionality involves recognizing how our society really oppresses all groups of minorities. And this would include the following types of groups. Listen to me on this. This is who they say are the minority groups who are being oppressed by our society. Men dominating women. The oppression movement really started with feminism. A lot of this ideology came from the feminist movement, which has its ties back to Marxism, all right? They define this as toxic masculinity. Now, is there such a thing as toxic masculinity? Absolutely, there is. But again, they're saying that our society is built on a wrong social construct where men can dominate women. Smart people or intellectuals use the construct of reason to oppress dumb people, for lack of a better word, the uneducated, okay? And so they say, well, you just were born into a smarter family, and you're just using your education to oppress me. This is a real thing. It's happening. The rich oppress the poor. We hear it all the time. The rich should be taxed more. The rich should do more to take care of all the other people. It's not equality. There is the intersectionality that's taking place here. Straight people oppress sexual minorities. Since the straight people are the majority in society, the homosexuals, the transgender, and I can't even remember all the things they've come up with now, okay? But they claim to be the oppressed people in our society. And here's an interesting one. Christians oppress other religious people and the irreligious people. And this is also a part of this conversation. Because now those who are part of wokeism are saying Christians need to apologize for standing on Scripture, for standing on truth. And so wokeism has now grown to involve even more supposed injustices in society that they again claim need to be rectified through social, economic, and political reform. We need to vote in people who will stand for these types of things. This is what woke ideology is teaching in our society. Where did wokeism come from? Wokeism is really just the new Marxism. That's all it is. The devil doesn't have a whole lot of new tricks, okay? But through the centuries, he's taken the same old ideas that have worked really well and given them new names, and that's exactly what he has done with this ideology as well. Karl Marx, as many of you will know him, he was a devout atheist, if such a thing exists. He was a very strong atheist. He hated God. He hated the Bible. And he was absolutely committed to defying everything that it taught. His view of the world was that the world was essentially made up of oppressors and the oppressed, two categories of people. And his entire philosophy targeted tearing down the systems of authority in society to free the oppressed people. I'll read you a quote here. Marx believed that the great problem of society could be reduced to the institutions of authority within society. And he held that because authority by its very nature is oppressive, all authority structures and institutions must be destroyed. That is Marxist philosophy. And that is such a dangerous philosophy that I don't even have time to get into right now. But this belief of Karl Marx led him to write the Communist Manifesto. I know you heard of that before. The Communist Manifesto, a system that, by the way, he never actually put into practice. He only theorized as he was going through his lifetime. He only theorized about the idea of how much this would work and never actually practiced it. And so convincing was he with his ideology that there were entire countries who took on Marxist ideology. And I could go down and list several of them for you and give examples, but I don't have time to do that tonight. But throughout world history, history has proven that Marxism fails every single time. Fails every single time. And so we know this now. So the devil, who is no fool, knew that he needed to find a different way to try to infiltrate society with this. By the way, who was the first person to try to defy authority? Satan. I will exalt myself above the Most High. The first one to try to implement Marxist philosophy was Satan himself. He was the originator of all this, to defy authority and to tear down social constructs, to tear down God's created order. It all started with Satan, and he's just trying to find new ways to do the same exact thing still today. And so wokeism is the new Marxism that we're seeing in society today. But whatever you want to call it, this worldview is essentially godlessness. If you want to give my definition for wokeism, you can say wokeism is godlessness, because that's what it is. It's the ideology that wants to tear down the social structure of authority, where you have God as a moral authority and people in positions of authority to enforce the truth of God's word. It's essentially what's happening. It's godlessness. And as Satan has ever wanted to remove God's authority and take God's place, so this ideology attempts to eliminate the moral authority of God from the very fabric of society and free people to live however they want. And that's ultimately what people want. They want to be able to live however they want to live. So what are the core principles of wokeism? I want to read to you verbatim what they claim about themselves. Here you go. Wokeism believes that the world is fundamentally divided into oppressors and oppressed people. They believe a major form of oppression today comes from whiteness. They call it a disease. Whiteness is a disease, according to woke ideology. Whiteness is not a neutral system, but creates culture of white supremacy that most benefits white people. White supremacy must be vigorously opposed through social justice, anti-racism, and the targeting of white privilege. Now, that's right from the source of those who are the proponents of wokeism. Now, maybe you already knew this. Maybe you didn't. I don't enjoy informing you of all this stuff, but I feel like I need to tell you what it is before I tell you how we deal with it biblically. So we see the definition of wokeism. We talk about wokeism. Anti-racism is the ideology that they claim is the answer to society's problem. If society has an inherent built-in racial power problem, then their solution for how to solve that problem is to be anti-racist. Now, the term anti-racist actually sounds really nice. It actually sounds really good. If you were to ask me, are you against racism? Duh, yes, I'm against it, all right? But again, they use terms. We need to understand what the terms mean. The anti-racism means not only that you should not be racist and that you should be against racism, which is what most of us would take it to mean, but the idea of anti-racism is that, especially if you are white, you need to apologize for your whiteness. You need to take ownership for the fact that there are white people before you who oppressed minority groups, and you need to try to make reparation for all the things that they did in the past. That's the premise of anti-racism, okay? So I'm trying to help us understand wokeism, CRT, anti-racism, intersectionality, all these terms that they're using, these terms you hear on the news. I'm trying to familiarize us with the definition of what wokeism actually is and where it came from, Marxism philosophy. So now I want to move on to the detriment of wokeism. I'm only scratching the surface. There's so much more on the subject, but I hope that you're gaining a little bit of an understanding of it. Let's talk now, secondly, about the detriment of wokeism. Now, as this corrupt ideology has gained more and more traction in our society, the impact it has carried along with it has been so devastating. And we see the remnants of the devastation that this wokeism is causing in our society all around us. I have more stories than what I have time to tell. But on the societal front, almost every day, we're seeing examples of the devastation being caused by this woke ideology. The thing that really hurts my heart is before our children, no matter what color their skin is, before our children are even able to have a consciousness of what racism is, they are being taught in many of our public institutions that A, they are being oppressed if they are a minority group, or B, they are oppressors if they're from a majority group, or in other words, if they're white. Now, I want you to just grasp what I just told you. Imagine a child in kindergarten. He has friends of both genders and every race in his class. He doesn't know that there's anything different. He doesn't know that he is supposed to be racist, or he is oppressed by racist people. Because in that class, they don't understand those concepts. That's why I love the innocence of children. They love you no matter what you look like, right? We could use a whole lot more of that goodness in this world. But imagine in that same classroom, a kindergartner, before he really even has the ability to comprehend the concept of these things, being told, there's something wrong with you because you were born white. Or, you're a victim because you were born from a minority group. Can't you understand the danger of teaching young people that ideology? Listen, so far from being anti-racist, it is actually perpetuating racism in our society. That is exactly what it's doing. Satan is no fool. He loves to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10 and verse 10 tells us that. And it is exactly what he is striving to do through infusing this ideology. And it grieves my heart. He always targets children. And that is exactly what is happening today. Young people who are so impressionable and do not have the capability to defend themselves against this. Listen, I am now at a point in ministry where a lot of our parents who are trying to raise their kids right. This has happened several times already for me as a pastor. They raise their kids right. But because of the education system they've been brought up in, or in particular, a lot of times it's the college that they go to. They're raised conservative. They're raised to understand biblical truth. But all of a sudden, they go to the schools, and they're told that their parents are wrong. They're told that the Bible is wrong. And they're told these principles that we're talking about. And all of a sudden, you have a young person who's now being shifted from a biblical worldview to a woke worldview. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I think all of us have experienced this or seen it experienced. Some of you have grandkids. Some of you have your own children, all right? You tried to raise them right. You weren't perfect. They went to school, and they got taught a different philosophy, and Satan used it to change their worldview. Don't tell me this isn't dangerous. Don't tell me it isn't impacting our society today. It's impacting our churches. It's infused in our society. What's interesting here is hiring decisions in our woke culture today are now being made in public institutions in particular based on this political ideology as well. And you have to be sure that you are being equal in your hiring choices, that you have an equal amount of people of different races, and that you have an equal amount of people of different genders, and that you have an equal amount of people of different sexual orientations, and on the list goes. And here recently, I'm not at liberty to share it specifically, but here recently there was an example of someone who lost out on a job because the institution felt like they needed to hire someone who was transgender because they didn't have any transgender people employed there. You know, you understand why that's wrong. No longer in our capitalist society can we hire people based on their character for the merits of a job. Now we have to bow down to woke ideology in order to be politically correct. And I could go on and share different stories, but this is some examples on the societal scale how wokeism is impacting our world today. But here's where it gets even worse. The sad reality is woke ideology is impacting our churches today as well. Even churches in the very city that we're living in. It was about 6 years ago, right here in Cortez, if my memory serves me correctly, that a homosexual woman was ordained as a pastor of one of our local churches. You know what that is? That's woke ideology. That is denominations of supposed Christianity that are embracing woke ideology. Are we still good? Nobody's left yet, okay? But this really gets under my skin. This really frustrates the fire out of me because the one place that's supposed to stand for truth is now being impacted by this woke ideology as well. And today, from the pulpits of many such woke churches, you will hear it taught that Christians are complicit in the concept of racism of their predecessors, that we should apologize for the choices of our forefathers that they made in the past, and all of these types of things. Now listen, what I'm not saying is that we should be proud of the choices that they made. Listen, I can't repent of a choice I didn't make. I can't tell you I'm sorry for something I didn't do. But what wokeism is insisting is that you need to be sorry for what your forefathers did. And that is not biblical. And that is not okay. I can, at the same time, hate what happened with racism in America in the past and want to stand against all that type of thing today without having to concede that for some reason I was in the wrong. Because I wasn't. I wasn't there. I didn't make those choices. I got to get off of that. But anyways, these churches are trying to infuse this ideology. Listen to this. Pastors today, in alignment with a woke ideology, are trying to lead people to believe that capitalism is oppressive. Any type of minority group. And so those who subscribe to socialism in our country are the minority. So many churches today are trying to teach ever so subtly that capitalism is a terrible system, the very system upon which our country was built. They're saying that we need to make reparations for past social injustices towards minorities. They're saying that we need to seek to make right our previous social justices toward minorities. And when I'm saying minorities, I'm not just talking about oppression towards black people. I'm talking about towards women as well. They're saying, well, we need to try to right these wrongs. And so what you see happening in a lot of churches today is the rise of egalitarianism. You say, what is that? Well, that's men and women should have equal standing in the church. I'm going to tell you something. It is God who set order to society. It is God who set men in position of leadership in the home and in the church. It doesn't mean that women cannot hold positions of leadership. But it is God who said pastors are to be men. Now that's not popular, but that is the truth. And it's woke ideology that is beginning to tear down these very basic biblical premises from the scripture. So they say, there are woke churches who are saying we need to allow women to be in leadership. There are churches that are teaching that we need to allow sexual minorities to be a part of our membership. Well, God forgives all of us of our sins. And there are some churches that aren't even calling homosexuality sin anymore. They're just saying, well, it's just how God made them. We just love all people. How about God says homosexuality is an abomination? I'm not saying that hatefully. Guess what? God also says that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God hates alcoholism too. You want me to go down and list all the sins? There's a lot of God hates all sin. God doesn't hate sinners, but he does hate sin. He's against sin, and it's not unloving or wrong for the church to say so. But in these woke churches, they're beginning to embrace the philosophy of our culture, and we are seeing the very construct of what God designed the church to be broken down piece by piece. Now, there's a book. I want you to write the name of this book down, because if you really want to be educated on the subject, you need to read it. It's a book called Christianity and Wokeness by Owen Strachan. There's another book by Vodi Bakum. He's a great preacher. Vodi Bakum wrote a book called The Fault Lines. He's phenomenal on this subject. I'm giving you a couple books that you can read because we're running out of time. But in Christianity and Wokeness by Owen Strachan, he actually identifies the categories of evangelicals, where they stand on this matter of wokeism. He said there's essentially four categories of Christians or evangelicals, where they stand on this subject. Let me give you these really quickly. He said in the first place, there are the non-woke. In case you didn't know, that's where I'm at, okay? There's the non-woke. They haven't bought into this system, nor ever will. The second category of evangelical or Christian would be the confused and undecided. The confused and undecided. They know that this whole thing is being taken too far, but they aren't clear enough to be able to take a stand on it, because they also see that racism does seem to still be a problem in society, and they also see that there are some concerns with some of the things that we see happening. And they're concerned, they know that it's being taken too far, but they don't know what the Bible says, so they're not really clear on where they should stand. Perhaps that's where some of you have been, confused and undecided. The third group that he says of evangelicals are the engaged yet cautiously pro-woke. The engaged yet cautiously pro-woke. He says they see the problem of racism but haven't been deceived by the lie of wokeism as a possible solution. All right, and here's the fourth group that he talks about, and that is the confirmed and committed pro-woke individuals. They have bought in to the critical race theory lie, hook, line, and sinker, and they are promoting it, and they are preaching it from their pulpits. They are writing books about it. There are famous Christian authors who you need to be wary of, who have wholeheartedly embraced woke ideology. And Andy Stanley is one of them. And I usually don't call names, but I'm telling you, there's some that some of you might be listening to and subscribing to. You need to be careful who you're watching. You need to be careful who you are allowing to influence your thinking. Because there are some big names in Christianity that have embraced woke ideology, hook, line, and sinker. And so the people that are in this last category, they cannot defend their position biblically. So they have to resort to allegorizing or spiritualizing Scripture to be able to teach this philosophy. In other words, they would take verses like let the women keep silence in the church, any of the verses on female authority in the church, and they would say, well, that was a cultural thing that was just meant for that day, and that doesn't mean anything for us today. They would completely disregard what the Scripture says to justify their position. All right? And so that's what's happening with people who claim to be Christian but are embracing this kind of ideology. So we see the detriment of wokeism. Now, we're almost out of time, but I do want to take some time for this last point, and I think it's very important for us to do so. I want us to talk about the defense of wokeism. Now, hang on with me for a few more minutes, because this is not a message that I want to be a two-part series, okay? I do enjoy speaking on this subject, but I do feel like there are other things we need to move on to as well. So if we are going to effectively oppose this evil ideology, there's some basic biblical truths that we must establish in our hearts as believers. How can we give a biblical answer to this mess that we've been talking about? All right. Well, I'm gonna give you 10 statements here and give you some scripture to back it up. And hopefully give some biblical direction to you. Statement number one, if you want to write it down, God creates all men equal. God creates all people equal. Genesis 1:27 says that we were made in God's image. God's image. That's the image that all of us bear. We're all made of the same stuff. We've all come from the same place. Acts 17 and verse 26 says that God has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Biblical teacher Ken Ham, who has done great work on this subject, extensive work even scientifically on this subject, he has brought to light a fact that I didn't know. But you know that between all the different supposed races in this world, there is a 0.012% difference genetically. It's minuscule. The difference that is between us, between all the different races of people. Why? Because we've all come from the same place. There aren't many races. There's the human race, the race that God created. Now, woke ideology would say, well, that is a racist statement for me to say that. But I say no, I say that's a biblical statement. Instead of dividing us, that unites us. We've all come from the same place. We're all made of the same stuff. God loves and creates all men equally. By the way, that is a premise written right into our Declaration of Independence as well. It's a premise upon which this country was established. But I digress. I've got to move along. Number two, second statement, God creates every person on purpose, with purpose. Say it again. God creates every person on purpose, with purpose. Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Now, listen to me clearly in what I'm about to say. Wokeism interprets differences as discrimination. Woke ideology says that if you have a different skin color, or if you're born into a different category, you're poor or you're rich, or you're white or you're black or some other color, any type of difference, they interpret that as a platform for discrimination. The Bible tells us that God creates all of us different on purpose, right? We're created with these differences, and it's a beautiful and wonderful thing that God does. It's not something to be despised. It's something to be appreciated. I'm glad that God didn't make us all exactly the same. I'm glad for the beauty and the difference with all the people that are in society. It's a God thing. Women are different from men, and they each have unique God-given roles to fulfill in society. That's not discrimination. That is biblical purpose. All right? I can't be a wife, and I would be a horrible one if I tried. I can't be a mother. I wouldn't even know how to tell you how to do it. But God didn't make me to be that. And I'm not going to complain, well, that's just discriminating. What if I want to be a mother? Well, I don't want to be a mother. I'll have you know. But that is the woke ideology that some people are claiming. Well, I want to be a woman. And he's a man. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because we're not accepting God's created order. When you understand that however you were created, all right? Whatever the color of your skin, whatever your gender, however you were created, you were beautifully made by God, born into the circumstance that you've been born into for a specific purpose that only God could give to you, and that is a beautiful thing. That is what the Bible teaches us. Understand this, how and when and in what situation you were born is based solely on the sovereign will of God. None of us have any control of how we're born, when we're born, into what family we're born. By the way, none of us had control into what country we were born either. You want to talk about somebody who's privileged over the rest of the world? How about Americans? All right? We seem to ignore that fact right there, and we have this conversation of wokeism. It's an inbred thing, wokeism is. But some people are born into a situation where it's easier to succeed than others. We're born into a situation where it's actually very difficult to succeed. But that doesn't make these people better or worse, inherently, just because of the situation that we're born into. It's where God placed them in life. I was thinking about this today. The home I was born into, middle-class parents, godly, raised us for the Lord right from the beginning. Did I have a wonderful opportunity to succeed? Yes. Thank God for it. A head start to most of you who didn't even have Christian parents when you were growing up. All right? I didn't ask if I'd do this, but I'm going to do it anyways because I don't think you'll mind. But I thought about Zach. I was Zach's youth pastor. Zach was born into a home. His mom struggled with drugs, and his dad struggled with some other things. Was not at all a Christian home. Woke ideology would say, well, he is a part of a difficult group who doesn't have as much likelihood to succeed. But here's the thing. He overcame the challenges in his life. And in spite of the fact he didn't have the opportunities I had right from the very beginning, that's the position God placed him in, and God placed him in that position for a reason. And by God's grace, he was able to overcome all of those struggles and get to the place where he's at today. See, God puts us all in this position we're born in for a purpose. It's not for us to question where God places us. It's for us to accept it, and that it's God's will for our life, and it is a beautiful thing, and he's done it for a reason. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, it says time and chance happens to all. Time and chance happens to all. We're all subject to time and chance, and the Bible teaches us that there. Here's the third truth. God doesn't show favoritism, and neither should we. God doesn't show favoritism, and neither should we. Romans 2:11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. There's no favoritism with God. He doesn't favor the rich over the poor. He doesn't favor women over men. He doesn't favor a person because of their race, and neither should we. And this whole idea that that some people should be punished just because of the skin that they were born with, this whole idea that some people should have to make up for the fact that they were born into a rich family when that was not anything of their choice. It goes against the grain of everything that the Bible teaches us. You understand? God doesn't show favoritism to people on any side of the spectrum, and neither should we. We should love all people. We should give all people the same opportunities. By the way, if a person does what's right, they should be commended by our standard of law, and if a person does wrong, they should be punished by our standard of law. That's something that should happen in our society. And I don't have time to get off into the prison system and some of the inequalities that are taking place there. But we do need to grow in this particular area as society. But growth does not look like adopting woke ideology. Growth looks like us getting back to the principles of Scripture and true justice for all people in society. Number four, the Bible only divides humanity into two categories. Guess what? It's not white and black. You know what it is? Saved and unsaved. That's it. Right? Because the truth is, when we all get in heaven, the Bible says there's going to be a congregation from every tribe and every tongue and every nation gathered around the throne of the Lord, and with one voice, we're going to be singing praise to the Lord. Right? And that's a wonderful thing. The Bible only divides humanity into two categories. It's not the oppressed and the oppressors. It's the saved and the lost. It's the people who know Christ and have Christ in their life and the people who have yet to trust Christ as their Savior and are still lost in their sin. Number five, wokeism traps people in a cycle of victimhood based on a sinful identity. But the gospel sets people free through a new identity in Christ. I'm going to say that again. Wokeism traps people in a cycle of victimhood based on a sinful identity. The gospel sets people free through a new identity in Christ. This is the saddest thing about the tenets of wokeism. Young people are raised to be victims. What the gospel does for a person is sets them free from that sinful identity. And now in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, but we're all one in Christ. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We often put it that way. And that's what our identity in Christ does for us. We're no longer identified by what society says we're supposed to be, but now we're identified by who Jesus says that we are. And that's a powerful thing. You can write down with that Ephesians 2, verses 13 and 14. We don't have time to go there. Number 6, wokeism entraps people in an endless cycle of condemnation from which they can never escape. If I subscribe to woke ideology, I can never escape the inherent wrongness for the fact that I am a white male, according to woke ideology. I need to apologize for it, and I need to keep on apologizing for it. I will never escape the fact that I am guilty because of the color of my skin. That's woke ideology. We've already looked at that. Here's what the Bible says. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Thank God, I am fully and forever forgiven through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible teaches. Thank God, there's no condemnation. But that is not the concept or premise of woke ideology, and that's why it opposes the truth of Scripture. Number 7, wokeism corrupts true justice, making it distributive and not retributive. It makes it distributive and not retributive. Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, talks about how God has given us government for the purpose of bringing justice to evildoers. All right? What woke ideology does is it doesn't tell a person he's wrong because of the choices he makes. What woke ideology does, it tells you all of you are wrong because of the color of your skin. Woke ideology does distributive justice instead of retributive justice. It completely undermines what true social justice is supposed to look like according to the Scripture. Now, we're going long, so I'm losing some of you, but let me finish this very quickly. Number 8, wokeism complicates all relationships between races, interracial marriage, interracial adoption, interracial friendship. If you subscribe to woke ideology, you are going to have problems with having genuine relationships with people from the other race. And that goes so much against what the Bible intends things to be. Listen, the church, God designed the church to be multi-ethnic because we've all come from the same place. There's one human race, but more importantly, we all serve the same Lord. And guess what? Jesus, he wasn't white, he wasn't black. He was a Middle Eastern man. That's who Jesus was. He doesn't even fit in either one of the categories, all right? And that's inconsequential at best, because the truth of the matter is, according to the Scripture, we don't have to subscribe to these social these social constructs of race anymore. Now, in Christ, listen, he brings us all together as one. And that's what God desires for his church to be. Number 9, the church is to be the multi-ethnic household of God. Now, just write this verse down with that. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. A great demonstration of that truth right there. And here's the last truth I'll give you. You need to refuse the temptation to try to make the truth of God more relatable. You need to refuse the temptation to try to make the truth of God more relatable. Here's the danger because of the impact of woke ideology. We want to find a middle ground. We know what the Bible says, but in order to relate to other people, we want to find a middle ground. I want to challenge you not to do it. We can't give an inch to this lost world who is trying to pull us away from the truths of Scripture. Because every time we give an inch, they take a mile. And this is how churches are getting infiltrated with people who are so far against what the Bible teaches. This is why churches eventually let homosexuals into their membership. This is why churches continue to embrace the woke ideology that we talked about before, because we're not willing to stand on the truth. And here's the thing. We are told to stand for biblical truth that it is hateful. Well, Christians are hateful. Well, you just don't like homosexuals. Well, you're just racist because you won't accept these ideologies. And the fact is that we're not, and we don't hate, we're not racist, and we don't hate homosexuals, and none of these things are true, but we can stand for what the Bible says and says a thing like homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God, and at the same time still love homosexual people. You know that's possible? That's possible, and that's what we should do. We cannot agree with woke ideology and yet at the same time say racism is wicked, and it's something that shouldn't take place in society, and we should do everything we can to stand against any type of thing that would encourage it. By the way, it is because I am not racist that I despise wokeism, because it is the greatest thing that is perpetuating the concept of racism in society today. It is literally teaching our kids from a young age to be racist. We've already talked about this. So it's a dangerous thing. Now, I don't even know how to bring this thing to a conclusion because I'm way far away from my notes, okay? But I hope that in this time, it's more teaching tonight, I hope that in this time you have come to understand what wokeism is and be given some spiritual tools that you can begin to study on how to take a stand against this concept. Here's the last thing I'm going to say. I've been a pastor in this small town long enough to know, especially some of you from the older generation, you can get mad at me, that's fine. But I've been a pastor here long enough to know that there has been a struggle with racism towards certain minorities in our culture here. I'm not talking about in our church per se. But some of you very likely grew up in a home that might have said a negative statement against Native Americans, for example, every once in a while. You need to embrace the fact that the Bible says that's not okay. You can't change your parents. You can't change the home you grew up in. But you can change how you view this world. And you can change how you treat other people. And you should, if you're going to be obedient to the Scripture. And that is an area, just speaking from my experience right here in Cortez, that I know we need to grow in. And we need to encourage our society to grow in as well. I appreciate your patience tonight. I know I've went long. I have spent... This is another one of those subjects I've spent over a year studying and getting ready to talk to you all about. And so I hope it was a help tonight. Let's bow our heads together, and I'll dismiss us in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this time we've been able to spend in your word. And Lord, this is a complex subject. I do not claim to be a sage on it, but I do know that it is an evil philosophy that is so detrimental to our society. And Lord, I long for the days in eternity. We don't have to deal with these sinful divisions that we cause between each other as humanity. But under the banner of Jesus, we'll all be united as one, no longer concerned with these arbitrary categories that we try to divide each other in. Lord, we'll just be marching under your banner and we'll be united as one. And what a day that's going to be. But until we get there, I pray you'd help us to continue to share the gospel with people who continue to embrace these ideologies that divide us. And I pray that the gospel, one person at a time, will bring us back together as one, as you desire for it to be. So Lord, help us to take these truths to heart. And Lord, where we've been wrong in our treatment of others, I pray we'd be willing to repent and get it right. And I do pray, God, you'd help us to be biblically grounded on this subject of wokeism. We pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.